జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా ప్రభుపా 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 జయ జయ ప్రభుపా జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం త్రిలీలా ప్రవిష్టో విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజశీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురువైన శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమోమృపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశదారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఘయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమ శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశదారిణి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీది నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవీదేవి దయదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాధ్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతధ్వాంధహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయ దే నమ నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనో గౌరాయ దే గౌరావిర్భవభూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమ వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పదిదానం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమ నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌపాంగోర్మ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంభోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమంద్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలివే సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻവേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേസ്തുനാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. So, last Saturday, Narada Bhakti Sutram, which we are discussing now, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying about the nature of Parabhakti. That is what we were talking about, is in Parabhakti Swarupam. That was the first chapter in the Narada Bhakti Sutram. Parabhakti Swarupam means that what is the nature of the nature of bhakti, parabhakti, not sadhana bhakti, parabhakti. Parabhakti means after one has realized the self, then when one continues his bhakti towards Krishna, that is known parabhakti. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shojati na kankshati samasarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labhade param. That param, parabhakti, that's what Krishna is talking about. Narada Maharshi is talking about here. That bhakti after self-realization, in other words. So, parabhakti's nature, that is what we have been discussing so many Saturdays. So, at the end of that, Sri Narada Maharshi gave the example, Yatha Vraja Gopiganam, just like the gopis of Vrajam, as the perfect example of parabhakti. Krishna spoke about the gopis as the best example. We also saw there that how gopis were affected by separation from Krishna. Separation from Krishna, how it has affected them. Nakali gopi gan andano bhavan. In fact, those verses in the Gopika Gitam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is an indication to us that gopis are not ordinary living entities. They have, through their bhakti, already the realization has happened to them. They have understood who Krishna is. So therefore, they say to Krishna, Na khalu gopika nandano bhavan, you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. Ahila dehinam andar almadrak, you are that soul who is present in everybody. That's what gopis are saying to Krishna. This will not come from ordinary people unless they have that deeper understanding of Krishna's, who is Krishna. They have understood who is Krishna. That's why they are saying like that. In the middle of Rasa dance, for gopis to speak like that just shows that what state of bhakti they were in. It is an indication of that. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrakha vighanasarthido vishwaguptaye sakhamude ivan satvadam kule. That you have come here because on request from Brahma and many other demigods, that in order to protect this world, you have descended here. That is how the gopis mentioned that to Krishna. That that only out of Brahma's request you had come here. So, purpose of Krishna's appearance and purpose and Krishna's real identity, this is known to the gopis. That's what that verse is saying. They are not just approaching Krishna on a completely mundane level, simply out of attraction for Krishna's form. Already they have realized in that state who is Krishna. Akhila dehinam andaralma drukha. That he is the andaralma of every living entity. Not only that, he is a witness of everything. Drukha. Drukha means one who is seeing everything. So, for gopis to say that, they must have understood something. They must have come to understand that this Krishna who is standing in front of them, who disappeared from them in the middle of the rasa dance, is not simply a form that they have seen there in front of them. The form of Krishna, what was present in form, the form has disappeared. But Krishna cannot disappear from anywhere. Krishna is present everywhere. How can he disappear? This is Gopi's question to Krishna, and Krishna couldn't answer that question. Nakhalu Gopi Ganandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madrik. Those words are important. Akhila Dehina. Akhila Dehina means all living entities. Andaralma is present inside. Drik, and he is witnessing everything. Vedavyasa Maharshi says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Kriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Arudhani Mayaya. There also, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, that Ishvara Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart, Kriddeshe, in everyone's heart, Arjuna Tishtadi, who is seated there, Brahmayan Sarvabhudani, all living entities are dancing according to his instructions from inside. We think we have independence, isn't it? We think we have made this decision, that decision. Actually, decision somebody else is making inside. Krishna is making that decision according to our vasanas and according to our desires. Those decisions are made. Krishna makes the decision whether to give us that opportunity or not, according to our desires inside. So that's why it said, Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtani. Vedavyas is very particular about that we must accept this, that Krishna is making all the decisions. Krishna is doing everything. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, all living entities are dancing based on Krishna's plans. We have no choice in any of these things. Yantra Arudhani Mayaya. Just like on this big giant wheel, when you sit there, you keep on rotating. Yantra Arudhani Mayaya. Similarly, in this giant wheel of Maya, we are all put in different places. And the Maya is playing with us, and we have no freedom to go anything against that. According to Maya's desire, according to our desires and Maya's plans, things will happen. We haven't got any freedom to move away from that. Saying that, he also mentions there that tad vihinam jaranamiva, that relationship was not mundane between the gopis and Krishna. And that is what, and also mentioned about that when Gopi saw Uddhava came to talk to gopis about Krishna's message, isn't it? When he came to Vrindavanam to talk to gopis about the message from Krishna, gopis mentioned that to Uddhava. Uddhava, he says to them that Krishna left us without telling us anything. He just abandoned us and gone away from here. And they gave the example, Kakha Vidabalam Braksham Bhuktva Chadidayograham Dagdham Mruga Sadharanyam Jaro Bhuktvam Radham Sriyam. That just like the birds, they leave the tree when the fruit is finished, they go. Similarly, Bhuktva Chadidayograham, guest comes to home, and when the purpose is the visit is over, finished, then they leave home. They don't worry about that home anymore. Khagam Dagdham Mruga Sadharanyam. That animals in the forest, when the forest catches fire, they don't care for that forest anymore. They leave the forest and go. Similarly, Jaro Bhaktwa Radham Sriyam. Krishna also, when his purpose is served, he has left us and gone away. So gopis were in a subtle way complaining about Krishna's action. So when Krishna said that Nastyeva Dasmin Tad Suga Sukhitvam, that here we have to understand that Krishna was experiencing a happiness, and the gopis have experienced a happiness which is not a normal happiness from the normal relationship in a, like a man and a woman. So they gave up everything for Krishna's pleasure, and in return, and they are only satisfied by being in the presence of Krishna. It was at that time, Naparayeham Niravadya Samyujam Susodhikrityam Vibhudayusha Biva Yama Bhajandur Jarageha Shrinkhala Samrishchadadva Pratiyadu Sadhuna. Krishna is saying to the gopis that this sacrifice what you have made for me, with the sake that gopis have left their home, they have left their all other connections in this world, and to walk away from home was not an easy thing for them to do. But gopis have done that. And Krishna is saying, Naparayeham Niravadya Samyujam. Krishna says that this action, what you have performed, I cannot repay back, that your love for me you have shown in that way, that you were able to give up everything and surrender in this way. So Krishna is recognizing that surrender of the gopis. Yama bhajan durjarageha shrangalaha. That for my sake, you have decided to even break away
Durjara Geha Shrangala. Durjara Geha Shrangala means the most difficult relationships at home, isn't it? Most difficult relationships at home means gopis had their children, they had their husband, they had their parents and grandparents, so many people at home whom they were caring for. They threw away everything and went to Krishna. And Krishna is saying to them, Yama bhajan durjara geha shrangala samrushya talbhava tadva pradiyadhu sadhunam. So that Krishna considered as free from selfishness. That if they had their selfish interests, they wouldn't have done that. But rather they gave up all the connections and left for Krishna's sake. Therefore, the Krishna says here that when when he sent Uddhava to gopis to console them, Uddhava was told to give this message to them. Tamal manaska mal prana madarte tyakta daihigaha ye tyakta loka dharmascha madarte dan viparmyaham. Tamal manaska mal prana, that the mind is always in Krishna. Gopi's mind was completely absorbed in Krishna. Mat pranaham, that their prana, their life air, was also completely in Krishna. Madarte tyakta laukika daihigaha, for Krishna's purpose, for getting Krishna, for to be with Krishna, they have given up everything what one could give up. And in other words, daihigaha, tyakta daihiga. Daihiga means oha deha dharmam. Deha dharmam is what? Deha dharmam means all their social relationships, particularly in relationship with the body. They were the wives of the cowherd men. They were the mother of so many children. And their parents were there. These are all deha dharmam, isn't it? When you have a particular material body, like a father or a mother or any relationship in this world, you have deha dharmam, some dharmam attached to that body, which comes through the body. Body brings that dharmam. So even that dharmam, they were willing to give up. Ye tyakta loka dharmascha madarte dan viparmyaham. They gave up all the dharmam in relationship with home, and also they have also given up the loka dharmam, all the other formalities of this world. Madarte dan viparmyaham. Gopis were very much aware that by leaving home and walking away like that, the society will criticize them heavily for their action. Therefore, loka dharmam also they have given up. They did not even care for that. And they have walked out from there. Krishna recognizes that and says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you can see the surrender, level of surrender, what the gopis have reached. And Uddhava saw that and went back and spoken to Krishna about it later after that meeting. So, with this last Nasteva Tasmin Tatsuka Sukhitvam, which is the 24th sutram, the first chapter finishes there, which is Parabhakti Surubam, finishes there. Now, after this, what Srinarada Maharshi is going to say is the glory of Parabhakti. Two types of bhakti, sadhana bhakti and parabhakti. What we practice in our daily life is sadhana bhakti. Parabhakti is that state after we reach that state of spiritual realization, after we have understood that we are not this body. After that, the bhakti what we experience. So that is the bhakti discussed in Bhakti Sutra. And that is the bhakti discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. After self-realization, what is the relationship and bhakti we have towards Krishna? And that is important thing. Sadhana bhakti, sadhana processes are given. We execute sadhana bhakti, and at some stage, when we have matured enough, we have purified ourselves enough, at some stage by Krishna's mercy, when we free ourselves from the identification with the body, we come to a state of self-realization. And that is when proper bhakti begins. And that is parabhakti. So from now onwards, from the second chapter in this Bhakti Sutram, Srinarada Maharshi is going to talk about the parabhakti mahatvam, the glories of parabhakti. Parabhakti is the bhakti that is wanted, that is required. Sadhana bhakti is everything. Everybody executes sadhana bhakti in this world, isn't it? Anyone, all kinds of people execute sadhana bhakti here. At different levels, people execute sadhana bhakti. And so sadhana bhakti is important, but parabhakti is the goal. Sadhana bhakti is not the goal. Goal is parabhakti. So that difference, pure bhakti is parabhakti. Parabhakti is pure bhakti. And that stage is an advanced stage. And that is not attained very easily. When one has come through all the karmam, when you have come through all the jnanam, ultimately you reach that state of parabhakti. That is what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. And that is why in the beginning it says there, Swaswarubanu anusandhanam bhakti ritya bhidiyade. That is the definition of bhakti there. Swaswarubam anusandhanam. That means you have already attained your swarubam and then you are pursuing from then. Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means you are pursuing after that. So swarubam anusandhanam bhakti ritya bhidiyade. Bhakti is defined like that. That is the bhakti what is spoken about by all the great devotees like Shandilya Maharshi and Gargacharya, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Parashara Maharshi, Srinarada Maharshi. They all talk about that bhakti, not the ordinary sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is necessary. It is for the starting point. It is sadhana bhakti for everyone. It is. But you can't keep sitting on this sadhana bhakti forever, thinking that I am still doing my sadhana. Sadhana has to come to develop into self-realization and parabhakti later. So we'll look at this parabhakti mahatvam, the glories of parabhakti. First, sutram in that is sa tu karma jnana yogabhyopi apyadhyadara. Srinara Maharshi is saying sa tu, that parabhakti karmam jnanam yogabhyopi adhyadaram. It is higher than karmam, jnanam and yogam. It is superior to karmam, jnanam and yogam. Narada Maharshi is saying like that. Naturally, after self-realization is this bhakti comes to that person. So therefore, it is superior to jnanam, karmam and yogam. Sa tu karma jnana yoge bhyobhi adhigadaram. So, the reason for that is, even forget about parabhakti, as a process itself, as a goal or sadhana also, bhakti is an easier process to execute compared to jnana margam or yoga margam or karma margam, isn't it? So, Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. In the Ekadashi Skandam, you know that. Krishna, Uddhava asked this question. So, in the 14th chapter, which we are discussing now on Sundays, in that chapter, this will come. Na swadhayati mam yogo, na sankhyam na dharma Uddhava. Na swadhyaya tapastyago yatha bhaktir mama orjida. Bhaktya hamekaya grahya shraddhayalma priya sadam. Bhakti punadi mannishtam shobhaga anabhisambhavad. Dharma satyadayo bedo vidyavatabhasanvidam. Mal bhakti abedam almanam na samyak prabhunadihim. Krishna says to Uddhava at that time, Uddhava, neither yogam, sanghyam, dharmam, swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means studying shastram. Tapasya, austerities, tyagam, sacrifices, none of them, or yogam, ashtanga yogam, or sanghyam, the knowledge, jnanam, dharmam, any other dharmam, none of them are as powerful as bhakti to attract me. Krishna says there. So, by pure bhakti, one can reach me. Krishna says, guarantees there, bhaktyahamekaya grahya shraddhayalma priyasadham. And that bhakti, if one has reached that state of bhakti, then bhakti punati mannishtam. And if he is fixed in that, it will purify him. How? Shobhaga anabhisambhavad. Even a dog eater will get purified from that bhakti. Krishna wants to stress that point, that bhakti can purify a person very quickly. Bhakti can purify a person very quickly. And one who dharma satyadayo bedo, vidyavatabasa anvidaham, that madbhaktya vedam almanam na samyak prabhunadihi. After saying that, Krishna is saying, none of the other processes, dharmam, satyam, deya, or vidya, tapasya, none of them can purify a person as fast as bhakti. As fast as bhakti. This is an important point. that is why, when we practice bhakti, we have to be very honest about it. If we try to go in the wrong way in the bhakti process, the results won't come. Bhakti is all centered around surrender, isn't it? Surrendering to Krishna. That is that purity in a person. When one surrenders to Krishna, that is his purity. So, dharma satyadayo vedo vidyavatapasa anvidaha madbhaktya vedama almanam na samyak prabhunadihi. None of the other processes is as fast as bhakti in purifying a person. That is the important point. So, in this stage itself, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying to Sri Narada Maharshi, that Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, all the other processes takes time to purify one. There is a reason behind it. It's not without any reason Krishna has spoken like that. There is a clear reason before that. Why bhakti is superior to other processes. And that is what is spoken in the next sutra. Bhala rupatvad, that is the reason. Bhala rupatvad. Reason is this, that in jnanam, yogam, karmam, all these things, there is this one thing called false ego. Very much present there. If you are pursuing the jnanam process, you are always thinking, I am doing it. Isn't it? You are identifying with the soul, where your effort, your ability, or your strength of or determination is a factor in jnanam. In karmam, also it is there. Karmam, you have to do it thinking that you are not the doer. Without the kartratvam, you have to do it. So, in order to do it without the kartratvam, you have to think in terms of, I am not the doer. So, when you keep on thinking, I am not the doer, that itself will become an ego later, thinking that I am not the doer. So, it is not an easy thing to wipe out from inside this ahankaram, or the whole process of jnanam, karmam, bhakti, yogam is all to get out of this, I am the I inside, the ego that is inside. And that doesn't go very easily. It is like, we compare it like the banyan tree. You cut the root here, it will sprout somewhere else. If you cut there, somewhere else it will sprout. So, this problem is there in all yoga processes. Ahankaram will develop somewhere. So, because of that, every other yoga process, jnanam, yogam, karmam, everything has a problem. In jnanamargam, you always have to be so alert not to allow the ahankaram to come out. The moment you forget that, false ego will come up straight away. That's why Ramachandra was instructed by Vasishtha, isn't it? Vasishtha told Ramachandra that ahankaram, he talks about ahankaram there, isn't it? Ahankaram is the cause of all the problems, Ramachandra, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra. Ramachandra was, when he was a young boy, he was educated by, like Sandeepani Muni educated Krishna, Vasishtha Maharshi educated Ramachandra. So at that time, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, everything, ahankara, na ahankara paro ribhu, he says. There is no higher enemy than this ahankaram inside, false ego inside. We will all say we don't have any false ego. But saying that itself is a false ego. This is how that false ego works inside. We can say I don't have any false ego, but the moment I say, that means that I have false ego. That is false ego that is talking, that I don't have any false ego. So it's a very difficult thing to get out of that, to get out of this false ego. Na ahankara paroribu. Ahankara duradaya, Vasishtha Maharshi says. Na ahankara duradaya. Ahankara duradaya means, all your work in this world, activities what you are performing, is coming from ahankaram. We may not recognize that. We may say that, oh, I am only doing it for maintaining the body and the soul. But as far as Krishna is concerned, even that is coming from false ego. When we work hard in this world to make money or to live a life in this world, Krishna is never told anywhere that we have to work or anything like this so many hours every day. It's not there anywhere. Krishna is supposed to maintain us, isn't it? He has sent us here. He's supposed to maintain us as well. But why ahankaram doesn't allow us to do that? Therefore it says ahankara duradayam. Ahankaram is the cause of everything. Ahankaram is the cause of everything. Ahankaram will not allow us to stay quiet. Somewhere that false ego, in a very subtle level it operates, and from there everything will come out. Similarly, all other things, kamam, krodham, anger, greed, lust, and all other emotions like that, which are undesirable emotions, they all come from ahankaram. Ahankaram, if you get hold of ahankaram, they will not come up again. That is the principle. So, ahankaram is the key behind everything. Ahankaram means false ego, what we call it as. And if you look for him, you won't find him where he is. This is the difficulty with this false ego. If you find that, try to find, just like the mind, the scientists are also searching, where is this? They all agree there's a thing called mind, but where is it? That nobody knows. Nobody understands where the mind is. It's so complex, it's the construction of this body, that we say that doctors know many things. Doctors doesn't know so many things about this body. They haven't got any idea how this functions. They can fix certain things. If your leg is broken, hand is broken, they can stitch it and put it back, or so many things they can do. But apart from that, when it comes to properly someone who can say they understand this body 100%, this complete, this unit, 100%, there is nobody understand that. To some extent they understand the body, but when it comes to the question of mind, intelligence, false ego, all the subtle elements inside, their knowledge is also very limited. Their knowledge is also very, very limited. That is why it is said like this. So ahankaram is one of the most subtle thing. When we wake up in the morning, first thing he gets up. This ahankaram gets up. With that, the mind also, because they are together. With the mind and the false ego wakes up together, and then we start our day, whole day. And in the end, in the night, when those two go to sleep, we get sleep. When those two go to sleep, we get the sleep. But till they don't go to sleep, you don't get sleep. They'll keep you busy. Actually, they control everything from inside so nicely, isn't it? Ahankaram. So that's why it said, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, alsaryam, all kinds of problems in this world, they come from ahankaram. All our work in this world, activities, what we are busy with, hundreds of things, come from ahankaram. And Vasishtha says to Ramchandra, Ramchandra, if this ahankaram, if you have caught him, then you have caught the thief, if you have found him. But that's not easy. So that's why it said, ahankaram is the main problem. So this ahankaram is there in jnana margam, karma margam, yoga margam. In all the three, ahankaram is there. In jnana margam, I am a jnani. That ahankaram will come. In yoga margam, very easy. I am a yogi. I have got so many siddhis. And Krishna says there, all these siddhis will become problems for you in your spiritual life at the end. It says, in the Bhagavatam it's there. That very siddhis, the yogis worked so hard, and after many years of practice, yoga practice, they reach certain, attain some siddhis, and the very siddhis become a problem for them later. It then develops into ahankaram. Siddhis will turn into ahankaram. Because naturally, when you have certain siddhis, in the association of others, you will like to display those siddhis. And Krishna says there, Kala Chapana Hedava. Uddhava, they are only good for one thing, to make some money and make a living in this world. Nothing more than worth than that. That's the point. So, Yoga Margam has got problem of ahankaram. Jnana Margam has got the problem of ahankaram. Similarly, Krishna says in Karma Margam also, you have got the same problem. Because constantly you have to be aware that you are not the doer, you are not the doer, you are not the enjoyer. And that's not easy. That's not easy. At some point, it will come back that you are the doer or you are the enjoyer. As long as if a slight desire comes up inside for the results to happen in your way, then immediately it's gone. You are the enjoyer then, isn't it? To be satisfied with whatever results come from your actions in this world is very difficult. It's not easy. So similarly, in the Karma Margam, I am the doer, it's a very difficult thing to give up. It is not easy. It's not very easy. That is why it is said. So, bhala rupatvad. He says there, bhala rupatvad. So, bhakti, here is the difference. Then what is the difference in bhakti? Is there no ahankaram there? Yes, there is ahankaram in bhakti also. But in bhakti, what is happening is that when one surrenders to Krishna completely, when he hands over his body, his mind, his intelligence, his false ego, everything to Krishna, and whatever comes in life accepts it completely, completely without any complaint about the results or about the actions, when he is completely accepting that, then that bhakti is what Krishna says here as the parabhakti state. So it is not easy in bhakti also, because that is why we say bhakti means, key to bhakti is surrender. So long as there is no surrender, bhakti cannot be executed, no matter who it is. Bhakti is dependent completely on the surrender. Bhagavadam, if you look in the beginning, in the first canto, when Srinarada Maharshi came to see Vedavyasa Maharshi in Shamyaprasam, that is in Badrinath, there is this discussion happening, isn't it, in the fifth chapter of first canto. There is this discussion. And there he says, Idam hi pumsat tapasa shrutasyava svishtasya suktasya jabuddhidathayoho avichyudatha kavibhir nirubido yaduttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Srinarada Maharshi says to Vedavyasa, Vedavyasa Maharshi, it is like this. Idam hi pumsat tapasa shrutasyava. Vedavyasa was lamenting. He was actually in suffering because he has done so many things and still there is no satisfaction inside. Wrote Mahabharatam 125,000 verses, broke up all the, wrote 18 Puranas and Upapuranas also, wrote Brahma Sutram, wrote and also all the Upanishads, he have codified them, broken the Vedas into four. Amount of work Vedavyasa has done is unbelievable. The amount of work he has carried out is unbelievable. In spite of doing all that, inside there is something missing. Something he feels is not complete. He is not complete himself. This feeling came up to Vedavyasa. That's why he says here, Idam hi pumsat tapasa shrutasyava svishtasya suktasya jabuddhidathayoho. Srinarada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyasa, Vedavyasa, it is like this, that even though you have done all these things, separating the Vedas into four, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, and then writing Brahma Sutram, Mahabharatam, all Puranas, everything. Still, there is one thing missing there. What is that? Avichyudarthakavibhir nirubido yad uttama shloka guna anuvarnanam. You have forgotten to glorify that absolute truth, who is Krishna, in the proper way, which you haven't done in any of these creation. In all the Brahma Sutram is centered around jnanam, completely knowledge it is. Puranam is all the history that they have written based on so many different historical proofs. Vedas, which is all Karmagandam, majority of Vedas is Karmagandam, that he has divided into four. So he looked after the Karmagandam, he looked after the Jnanagandam, and to some extent he has spoken about the glories of different Devadas in the Puranas. But why have you not spoken about Krishna in the proper way? Who is the supreme truth? Who is present in everyone? It is then it clicked to Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind. He was also thinking about the same thing. The absolute truth, who is present in everyone's heart, and who is created, from whom the creation has come, and who keeps this creation going, and to whom all this creation goes and joins at the end. That personality I have not spoken about. Vedavyasa felt that. That's what it is said. Idam hipam sattapasa shrutasyava srishtasya suktasya ja buddhi dattayoho avichyudartha vibhir nirubido yad uttama shloka gunani varnanam. Avichyudartha kavibhir nirubido. It says that great thinkers, great thoughtful people, even they have come to the conclusion that glorifying that supreme personality is important. Because it's from him everything has come. And that has opened Vedavyasa Maharshi's eyes. When Srinarada Maharshi mentioned that, it opened Vedavyasa Maharshi's eyes. Vedavyasa Maharshi was also thinking the same thing, that as something is missing in my work, what I have done. Vedavyasa Maharshi's work is so vast, what he has done for the human society, knowing very well in Kali Yugam, people will suffer in so many different ways. And to give us some goal in life, he wrote all this Vedic literature, isn't it? He created that and given it to us. And he also made sure that it exists in this world. Imagine 5,000 years ago, Vedavyasa wrote Brahma Sutram and it's still there in this world. 5,000 years ago, Srimad Bhagavatam was written. It's still there. Upanishads were written. They are still there. All Vedas were classified into Rigga, Samam, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda. They are still there. All the Puranas are still there. How did that happen? So many literature have come to this world and they sometimes last 5 years, 10 years, 100 years maybe, and then it's gone. Isn't it? It doesn't stay. But how come all this literature stayed in this world? When you think about that, you can see that Vedavyasa Maharshi has said it will stay and it has to stay. It will stay somehow in this world. That is the potency of the great sage. So he has decided that it should stay. I have written this for the sake of the human society. Those who want to take advantage for spiritual life, they will come and take advantage of it. That's why he mentioned that, and he taught to his four disciples, Pailan, Jaimini, Sumandu and Vaishambayanan. They learned that from him, and through them, Shishya, Prashishya, through them, Shishya, disciples, 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 like that, it stayed in this world. And nothing has changed. That stayed as it is there. So, this is the point that Avichidartha Kavibhir Nirubido, Uttama Shloka Gunana Varnanam. But Uttama Shloka Gunana Varnanam didn't happen. What is that? Glorifying about Uttama Shloka Krishna. That didn't happen in all these literature. So therefore, he got that message from Sri Narada Maharshi, and he decided to compile Srimad Bhagavatam for that purpose. And and Sri Narada Maharshi also said to Vedavyas that this discussion is happening in the beginning of Kali Yuga, isn't it? Between Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. So he says to him that in this age of Kali, that they will not be very intelligent. People will not be very intelligent. They themselves are talking about us. Between Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas, he's talking about people like us. He says, if you look into Bhagavatam, Vedavyas puts it in a very mild way. They're not gossiping. They're talking about us. They're saying there that the that in Kali Yugam, people by nature, the mandasya, everything is wait, there's no rush for anything. We got plenty of time. What is the urgency? When we retire, we will see. Or at the age of 80, after the 80th birthday, we will have a look at it, what we should do. Till then, I have got all these duties in this world to fulfill. This is the mood. This you can't change. Most of the people are like that. Some people never get to that age. Some people, even if they get there, at that time they get busy with other things. Even at the age of 8, they will say, our great grandchildren have come to see us. We have to spend some time with them. And we have to take them to the seaside and play with them. Is it not? 80-year-old man is saying, I have to play with my great grandchildren. Otherwise, what am I living? What is the purpose of my life in this world? So that living, that enjoyment mood has not left yet. Even at the age of 80 and 90. And he is the person who is going to take to spiritual life. So this is the world we are in today. And that knew that Vedavyas and Narada Maharshi knew the problems of this Kali. Unnecessarily getting attached to all silly things in this world and thinking that this is the goal of life. This misunderstanding, mandasya. And first thing is mandasya, mandam, everything. No rush. Wait, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time, yes. This is the approach. Then the next thing, what? Mandasya, manda prajnasya. Now, if you tell them the things properly, bluntly on their face, will they understand? They won't understand either. Even manda prajnasya. Prajna is not there. Prajna means the capacity to grasp things, the subtlety of all these things. Even if you tell them hundreds of times, they'll say, yeah, they'll smile and say, oh, we have plenty of time. There's no rush. What's the rush? Mandasya, manda prajnasya. Then what else? Vayo manda yushascha vaihi. Now, is the Kali Yugam people, this government is saying we live longer. Bhagavatam is saying you are living shorter time than any time before. You can see also when you look at Mahabharatam and all, Bhishma was fighting the war when he was 85 and 90. He was fighting the war. We are, our retirement age for the soldiers is 35 or 40. After that they can't fight. That is our retirement. Bhishma was fighting at 85. When Mahabharat war happened, he was a great grandfather. And he was fighting the war. So how old he must have been at that time? And Bhishma, he has gone through three generations by now. Ambambikamba, Vichitravirya and Chitrangada, that one. Dhritarashtra and Pandu, another one. And now he is in control there. So three generations practically he has gone through and he was able to fight the war. And our soldiers today, how many of them can fight? They're waiting for the pension to get and leave the army as quickly as possible. So it's not that they can fight because they just don't have that lifespan or the strength in them. That's why mandayushaschavaihi. Mandayusa means very limited lifespan they have. Mandasya manda prajnasya vayo mandayushaschavai. Then mandaham. Then mandaha means that absorption in the body is so high, so concerned about this body. You can see only in Kali Yugam that this perfume industry and the gym and all the massaging and all kinds of bodily things attached to body will have such importance. Neither in Kadayugam, Tridayugam, Dwapara, you don't find all this like the way we look after the body now. Isn't it? So much attachment to the body, thinking that I am this body. This is strong in Kali Yugam than any time before. That's a mandaha. That shows the lack of proper understanding of what I am. I've lost that touch. Sumandamadayaha. Now, sumandamadayaha mean that even after you have spoken all these things, still the attachment is so deep inside. Sumandamadayaha. That little by little they will come. They'll take to it. Then what else? Mandabhagya hubadrudaha. So mandabhagya. Now, okay, all this is not working very well. Nothing is favorable. But have they got some luck that something will go in the right way? They don't have any luck either. They are very unfortunate people. That is what Vedavyasa and Narada Maharshi was discussing about us. Mandasya manda prajnyasya vayo mandayushascha vaihi nidraya manda sumanda madayo mandabhagya hubadrudaha. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this statement. That is what prompted Vedavyas to feel so much for us, seeing our situation, that this will be the people of age of Kali. Age of Kali will be like this, completely absorbed in the body, unable to understand what they are, and even if you tell them, cannot grasp it, and everything slow, 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 no rush. What is the rush? We are asking. We are saying, Vedavyas, why are you in a rush to self-realize the self? We've got plenty of time. So this is our mode. And what else will they do? Nidraya hriyade naktam vivaya javavaya kudumba bharanenava divacharte haya rajan kudumba bharanenava. In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into the first canto, this discussion goes on between Vedavyasa and Narada Maharshi, where they are talking about us, about the people in Kali, how they will be. Nidraya hriyade naktam vivaya enajavavayam. That nidraya hriyade naktam, they will be very fond of sleeping. They like sleeping a lot. As much as possible, sleep, sleep, sleep. As much as possible. And vivaya enajavavayam. And if they have some time, they'll be busy with all kind of silly things in this world. There'll be something to tinker with, or some business deal they'll be busy, thinking that that is their ultimate goal in life. They'll be get involved in so many other meaningless or useless activities, which is not helping them in any way, rather wasting the time in that body. Nidraya hridenaktam vivayena javavaya diva acharte haya rajan. Okay, they have to sleep a lot, fine. Vedavyas says, okay, you sleep well at night. But during the day, will you do something? Diva acharte haya rajan kudumba bharane nava. In the daytime, there's only one business, how to run the family life very well. Sometimes when you see some family life is shown, 24 hours busy with family life, a man. 24 hours busy with only one thing, keeping the family going. And any time you ask, say anything to him, he says, oh, I have no time, I'm busy with my family. So that means he's saying that he's doing the highest thing of running the family. That means he has no time for any self-realization, all can wait. What is the urgency for realizing the self? I got my family, he says. So with all these in the background, Krishna is saying, Bhagavatam begins with all those things. And here, Sri Narada Maharshi is also saying there that this is the unfortunate people of in the age of Kali. There's not much hope for them. They are in that state and nobody recognizes or realizes it, and they get caught up in that day after day. One thing or the other will come. There's always something, some project going in life, and keep yourselves busy with that. And then at the end, when everything is over, we'll say, huh, we could have done something different than this, but then it's too late to do anything about it. Isn't it? That's how life goes. Before anything can happen, life is over. And then what else? What can happen? Nothing can be done except another body. Krishna says, there is, Uddhava, there is no other choice at that time. You have wasted all your life not listening to Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and you have done things on your own, thinking that everything, you have got plenty of time. But when the time is up, then you have to accept the next body. There is no choice, Uddhava, in that. He says that to Uddhava very clearly. So, so here, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying that bhakti is the easiest process to tie Krishna down. If you want to get Krishna, bhakti is the process. There is no other process as powerful as bhakti. But bhakti should be based on shastram. That is the most important thing. It's not the bhakti what we concoct. That's the important thing. That bhakti based on shastram, Narada Maharshi says, is the highest what one can. Many, many people are ample proof for that. They lived in their great, great jnanis, highly realized souls. They have also come to understand Krishna is only possible to get to Krishna through bhakti. That's why he says in the next hymn, he says, Ishwaraswabi, Ishwarasyabi, Abhimana Deshitwal, Dainya Prayatatcha. Everything is very short, sweet and short. Very sweet and short. In a few words, he has to say. He said what he has to say. It's up to us to understand what he is saying. He says here, Isharasyabi abhimana dveshitval dainya priyatval cha. So, Krishna is not happy with someone who is completely dependent on his own ability. That you know very well. In sadhana also it is important. You remember? Earlier we talked about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, when you are executing sadhana, if you simply do sadhana like a work, every morning I get up, I chant my 16 rounds, and I don't worry about what Krishna says or what Krishna doesn't say. I do things on my own, completely independent from Krishna. Everything according to my taste. But I'm doing what I've been told, so Krishna should give it back to me for what I've done to him. In this way, if you execute sadhana, it will not work. That's why it's taking long time. Otherwise, as Ajamila said, if you chanted once, that's enough. Once somebody said to Prabhupada, Ajamila said, chanted twice the holy name. Prabhupada says, where did I say that? He said, I only said yes, John, only once. You don't have to even chant twice. Once the holy name is sufficient. But that chanting the holy name, completely dependent on Krishna. That is the important thing, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashirteyatandiye te brahmata vidukrishnam adhyatmam karma chagilam. If you look at that verse, you will see there. Jaramarana mokshaya, those who want to come out of this cycle of birth and death, old age, death, disease and all that, what do? Mama ashirteyatandiye. They take shelter of me first. And then they put their effort into the sadhana. So our sadhana, which is independent of Krishna, most of the time our sadhana is independent of Krishna. We chant 16 rounds, I have committed to my spiritual master. So I'll chant my 16 rounds, hear the beats back, finish now 16 rounds. And I have my plans to go to do other things. So if it happens in that way, Krishna is saying there, you are not dependent on me, you are doing things on your own, you carry on doing, and I have my own way of doing things as well. So that's why chanting the holy name, japam, dhyanam, kirtanam, any spiritual activity, if it is with abhimanam, that I am the doer. Abhimanam means I am the doer. That thought inside, Ishwaraswabi abhimana dveshitval. Krishna says, not accept that. Abhimana dveshitval. Dveshitval means it is not pleasing to Krishna. That's how Narada Maharshi puts it. He says it's not very pleasing to Krishna when he does something out of abhimanam, out of pride inside. He's doing his sadhana, he's doing every day, he's very steady, but still abhimanam is very strong inside. The pride inside, I'm doing it. So that is not very pleasing to Krishna. But dainya priyatvacha, that at the same time, if it is executed, I am helpless, I'm doing this, I have been instructed to do this, but only if your mercy is there, anything will happen to me. In that mood, if a devotee executes sadhana, that sadhana will have its result also. This is the most important thing. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. And in the Bhagavatam also, Krishna says that. In Bhakti Sutram also, Narada Maharshi says the same thing. That means, depending on one's own effort and thinking that, and that my effort will make it a success, then he will fail. But if he surrenders himself, I am helpless, and depending on Krishna and executing the sadhana, in that case it will have its result. That's the point in that. The Isharaswabi Abhimana Dveshitwal Dainya Priyatvacha. Dainya Priyatvacha. Then Dainyam. Dainyada means that that he is completely dependent on Krishna. He even thinks that because Krishna has given me this health, I am able to chant the holy name. Because Krishna has given me some time without being disturbed by the world outside or other interference from the rest of the world, I am able to chant the holy name. Because Krishna is looking after me, otherwise how I am living in this world? I can be like many others, some sickness can take over, and I may not be able to chant. In other words, it's only due to Krishna's mercy I am able to execute the sadhana. With that consciousness, if one executes sadhana, that is dependence on Krishna. That's dependence on Krishna. Otherwise, it is one executed like a duty or like a work, then it is not sadhana. It will go on, it will have results, but it will take a very, very long time to mature. To mature means that the spiritual progress or spiritual realization won't happen very easily. Why? This abhimanam or pride covers everything. Abhimanam, pride covers everything. If it is like that, there will be a question then. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, I am equal to all. Isn't it? Krishna says there, I am equal to all. Name samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshu stinapriya. There is a verse there. If you look in the 9th chapter, samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshu stinapriya. I am equal to everyone, Krishna says. I am equal to everyone and I don't have any hate or love towards anyone. So when you read this statement in the Bhakti Sutram and when you read that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, do they contradict each other? That question is there. So why is that it is like that? Why is that? This is all very subtle understanding of things. That you may think that on one side Krishna is saying like this and his great devotee Narada Maharshi is saying in another way. That so what does this mean all? So that question will come. It's very simple to understand that Krishna is equal to all. There is no question about that. Krishna is equal to everyone at the same time. But we have to receive that mercy from Krishna. In order to receive that mercy, there is something blocking us, and that is this pride in us. That is not in Krishna's hands, that is in our hands. We have developed this false ego or pride in us, which does not allow to receive that mercy coming from Krishna. Krishna wants to be kind to us, merciful to us, and all the mercy that's coming from Krishna, the one that is blocking that is our false ego. Our false ego is blocking that Krishna's mercy coming to us. This is how it is to be understood. So Krishna is not responsible. We are ourselves responsible for that state. When ahankaram goes away, false ego goes away, and the consciousness gets purified, and it becomes helpless, and withdraw from every effort, thinking that I am the doer, I can manage it, I've done this, I've done that. People always say that, isn't it? What's the use? I've chanted 16 rounds for so many years. What has happened? They'll say. Many times, very often people will say this. And then one day they give up. Sometimes in the same ego will tell them, oh, you should chant 32 rounds today or 64 rounds today. And 1 or 2 days they may do that. And then suddenly the mind throws some doubts at that time and the whole thing changes. So when we fall into the net of the mind or the trap of the mind, this will happen. Ego will come and play this game. But when we simply take Bhagavad Gita alone as our guide and accept the shelter of Bhagavad Gita, then mind cannot dictate to you anymore. Bhagavad Gita is telling us that mama ashakte yatandiye, dependent on Krishna and do your part. Don't allow the mind to get involved in that, in your decision. If you do that, then te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma jahilam. Krishna says there. Then so, except in bhakti, where one surrenders completely to Krishna, no other process, jnanam, yogam or karmam is as pleasing to Krishna. Only reason for that is in bhakti, one surrenders completely. Surrender is the whole key to bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on anything else. Purely dependent on this one thing, surrender. People will always ask, then the question will come, what is surrender? How do I surrender? They will ask the question. Isn't it? Often people will ask that question. How do I surrender to Krishna? How do you answer that question when somebody asks that question? You surrender to Krishna. That's all. Surrender to Krishna means that the great devotees have spoken to us about that. In the Bhagavadam, there are examples for that, of those who have surrendered to Krishna. Isn't it? So seeing their way, how they surrendered to Krishna, you have to follow their footsteps. That's the only way. Then our life will be different than the life of Mahabali. Our life is different than the life of Uttara Devi. Our life is different than the life of Kunti Devi. Our life is different from the life of Bhishma. Our life is different than the life of Uddhava, or Gopis, or Vritrasura, or Ambarish Maharaj, or Akrura, or many other devotees who are in the Bhagavadam. They all were different. But one thing you will notice, that they all surrendered to Krishna. In the similar way, in our own life also, we have to surrender. That it is in our hands, how we surrender to Krishna. That Krishna will dictate from inside when we decide to surrender, or when we desire to surrender to Krishna. When the desire comes to surrender to Krishna, Krishna will dictate from within how that surrender should be made. Basically, surrender means what? Surrender means Sharanagati, isn't it? Sharanagati. Complete dependence on Krishna for everything. Always recognizing that it is Krishna who is keeping this body going. It's Krishna who is providing our necessities of life in this world. It's only by Krishna's mercy I'm living in this world. In this way, everything is Krishna's. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. This is all a part of that surrender. Ekkinda jagatyam jagat tena tektvena punjida magrida kasya siddhanam. The first verse in the Ishomanishad. These are all the route towards that surrender. And the 9 processes discussed in the Bhagavadam, Navadha Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasavanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, all these 8 you can do it. But the 9th one, Almani Vedanam, there Krishna's mercy is required. Krishna's mercy is required. In others also Krishna's mercy is necessary. But Almani Vedanam, the last one, which Mahabali did, which Uttaradevi did, which Gajendra did, they are all the best examples in the Bhagavadam for surrender, isn't it? Gajendra is one of the finest examples. Uttaradevi is best example. And then we have got Mahabali. 3 important personalities who were supreme surrender they have done. Without looking this side, that side, they surrendered to Krishna. That's their glory. So, Gajendra, when he surrendered, he's saying there to Krishna that Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that he surrenders himself in such a way that all desires had left him. And to come to that state, he had to go through a lot of distress in his life, isn't it? In that elephant's body, first he was Indradyumna, a king in the previous life. So, after many lifetimes, he has become properly, tempered by the experiences in life, and that ego has wiped out little by little by little. In the body of Indradyumna, he offended Agastya Maharshi. Agastya Maharshi cursed him and told him to become an elephant. In the body of the elephant also, he was a leader there. So there it says in the Bhagavadam that Krishna's devotee is never gives up his leadership. All the time he is the leader. Even when he became an elephant, he was a leader there. And he was taking them all together when they were wandering around in the forest there. And he looked after like a householder, looking after his wife and children. He was looking after them all. And at that point, it says there that he did not realize that Prarabdham is waiting behind in the form of that crocodile in the water. So when the crocodile caught the feet of Gajendra. Gajendra, what did he do first? First he tried to pull the feet out. But crocodile was in the water. He is stronger in the water. Gajendra is not so strong in the water. So he was trying to pull. He couldn't escape. 1,000 years they have pulled. It says in the Bhagavatam, 1,000 years Gajendra was pulling his leg from crocodile to escape, but he couldn't. And it is after that, up to this time, all his wives and children, they were all helping him to come out of that water. They were pulling. One after the other, they also failed. So they also left him and gone away. It is only after that Gajendra started realizing that nobody can help me in this world. So-called relatives, friends, all my society, up to a point, they'll be with you. But when the situation becomes hopeless, they will also wash their hands. They will say, I've shown you the best consultant what I can show, and I've done that. Now you have to go. There's nothing I can do about it. So this is the situation, isn't it? When we get sick, what will the relatives do? If they are close relatives and if they really have something they want to help you, what they can best do is to take you to a good doctor. They can't do anything more than that. And if the doctor says there is no hope, then there is no hope. Finished. Everything is over. Then the relatives are not going to do anything. They'll say, what can we do? We can't do anything more than this. We have done everything what we can for you. And then the next thing, whatever has to happen, will happen. So, why do we have to wait till that point, till the consultant says to us, nothing can be done? That's the question. Question is, that don't depend on all these relatives and friends and others. They can't help, basically. They're also helpless about it. So, the same thing, actually, Gajendra's story is our story. Only through Gajendra's story, Sukadeva Goswami wants to tell us something. But instead of telling bluntly on our face, this is the situation, he told us through this history of Gajendra. That's so. It's our story, basically. So, Gajendra knew this, and he says that prarabdham, I had to go through this prarabdham in the form of that crocodile catching my feet. I had to go through this 1,000 years of agony through fighting with this crocodile. And I realized now there is nobody here to help me. No one can help me either. It was then that he opened his eyes and then the surrender happened. Surrender happened in Gajendra's life. So that is why that 8th canto, Gajendra's story, is so important, that it is a direct instruction to us in life not to be dependent on anything else. Nobody can help us, even if they want to. Initially, when you get sick, they'll be there, they'll come and visit you every day, or they'll come to hospital and see you for an hour, and they'll bring you some prasadam, or they will bring you a garland. And after a few days, they will also get tired. They will say, he's not dying, he's still there. They'll say that. They won't tell you, but that is go through their head. This is the reality. It'll go through their mind. How long is it go on like this? He's not dying. Initially, all this friendship and all these social norms, they will follow. But after that, there will be nobody. There will be nobody. And suppose, if you get cured and come back, they will say, oh, such a hell he has created for all of us for so many days. Well, that also people will say that. There is no doubt about that. This is the world that you can't do anything about it. This is all our situation is like that in this world. So nobody can help us in any of these situations. If Krishna wants it, it can work. If Krishna doesn't want, Krishna withdraws that mercy, everything is over. Life is over then. After that, it is just that you can expect anything to happen. This is the most important thing. That's why Alpanivedanam, that surrender, is so important in spiritual life. That when we surrender like Gajendra did, who else has done in the Bhagavatam? You have so many examples in the Bhagavatam who have surrendered to Krishna like that, isn't it? Gopis have surrendered in the same way. Gopis had to, they have to gamble a lot on that for surrendering to Krishna, isn't it? When they surrendered to Krishna, they had to break their relationship with home, they had problems with their husbands, with the children, and so many social laws they had to break to get out of it, to surrender to Krishna. So surrendering is not an easy thing. Whether it is Gajendra, whether it is Gopis, whether it is Uttara, whether it is Kunti Devi, all of them, surrender is a difficult process. So it is that surrender that is the most important aspect of bhakti. Nothing else. All other things, chanting the holy name or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, None of these things may there are people like that who have not studied any shastram, who have not chanted any round holy name in their life, but they got this message very well in their life and they have surrendered to Krishna and they have made it perfect in life. You may wonder how Krishna favored them like this. Sometimes some people, they have been really living a very steady life, but inside they are very much aware that it is Krishna's mercy that is keeping them in this world. And they were not into any kind of, particularly any, any high spiritual activity, so to say. They were not preaching to anyone, they were not propagating anything, nor were they advanced in the sense of the sannyasis or anything like that. Ordinary householders, but very conscious of this reality that Krishna's mercy is keeping this life going. And they have made in their life, gone back home back to Krishna. They have done, they have achieved that perfection in their life. Why? Because of that surrender. The power of surrender is such. And that is come from many lifetimes when we understand that principle and the false ego little by little melts off and that surrender becomes stronger inside in a person. There are many, many personalities like that who lived a life in this world. So, here, out of the 9 processes, the first 8 you can do something. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. All that you can follow the Shastram and do something. But Atmanivedanam is a difficult thing. That is something which Krishna has to allow you to do that. When Krishna gives you that mercy, you will get that intelligence how to do it properly and how to surrender to Krishna. So that is why it is mentioned there that one who is in Yanamargam, he has to have a good hearing, Shravanam, then good Mananam, and good Nididhyasanam after that. All this is a part of Yanamargam. So, while doing Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, there is always this thing behind that I am doing it. That will not go from a Yani. He is always conscious of that. So, always he is dependent on his ability, in other words. In Yanamargam, in Karma Margam, in Yoga Margam, he is dependent on his ability, isn't it? His capacity to do it. In Bhakti Margam, he is dependent on Krishna. He is not dependent on his ability. That is the difference. That's the difference between Bhakti and all the other processes. And therefore, Krishna is very strongly and very firmly advocating Bhakti. You can see that in the Bhagavatam, which we are discussing on Sunday. Bhadhyamano vimal bhakto vishayai rajitendriyaihi Praya pragalbhaya bhaktya vishayerna bhibhuyate. Krishna is saying there, Bhadhyamano bhimal bhakta. My devotee, Krishna is saying, Bhadhyamano bhimal bhakta vishaye ajidendriyehi. Even if he is something lacking in him, he is not able to control his senses or mind properly. But, and if it is affecting him, Bhadhyamano bhimal bhakta vishaye ajidendriyehi. Even then, Praya pragalbhaya bhaktya, what means that the power of bhakti inside means the power of surrender inside. Because he is so surrendered to him, vishayar nabhi bhuyade, he will escape from all the other problems of this world. So surrender, that is the only thing in the bhakti, nothing else. And it is that surrender that differentiate a jnani, yogi and a karma yogi from a bhakta, from a devotee. From bhakta, because of this surrender, Krishna has a special relationship with him. A special relationship with him. But because anything out of your effort or our effort, what we try to do in this world, ultimately it requires Krishna's mercy to succeed. Otherwise it's not going to succeed. Even Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, all, if it has to become successful at the end, Krishna's mercy is required. If Krishna decides that his ego is too strong, he may have studied all the shastram, you may have executed all the sadhana in this world, still we are not getting the truth. After studying everything, we have to filter out the truth from all these things, isn't it? The truth is what we are searching for. We are not searching for maya, we are searching for the tattvam, the truth, satyam, satyam varam dhimahi, satyam varam dhimahi, satyam varam dhimahi. Bhagavatam is saying that. That satyam, you have to filter it out from all this mess of shastram. Shastram is a big mess completely. If you start studying, one shastram will say one thing, another shastram will say exactly the opposite. And in the same shastram, at different places, different things will be spoken. So when you read all these things, you will get completely confused. Which is the right one? Which is the wrong one? Why is it saying like this? Why is it saying like that? Garuda Puranam will say one thing. Matsya Puranam will say something else. Vishnu Puranam will say something. Bhagavatam will say something else. And you will read all these things and you will say that there's something wrong here. This is quite often, it's not another new thing. It's not today it has happened. That's why spiritual life, what it is that till you get that truth, clarity inside, satyam, what we said, filter out everything and get the satyam out of it. Till that time you have a very long haul, a long work to do. And till you get that, you will always have this problem, trying to understand this and understand that. Because somebody tells you that, oh, Vedavyasa has written all these books, 18 Puranas. So you start reading all the 18 Puranas and you will have 18 different questions after that. That's how it is. Shastram is like that. That's the very nature of Shastram. So Shastram cannot give you that. Shastram cannot give you that. So what can Shastram do is to help you in your effort in spiritual life. It can support you in many ways. Then Bhagavad Gita also, people are reading Bhagavad Gita. And why we have so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita? We say, Bhagavad Gita, this is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, somebody says. Somebody else says, no, this is the conclusion. Somebody says, Bhagavad Gita is only talking about bhakti. Someone else says, no, it's all about jnanam. And somebody else says, no, karma yoga is the most important thing. Like this, even on Bhagavad Gita, we have so many interpretations and commentary on that. It's the same thing with Srimad Bhagavatam also. Read Srimad Bhagavatam, we have 14 major commentators. Do they all agree with everything? Most of the things they don't agree each other. Agree means they have their own opinion about it. Why is that? Why is it like that? So who is right? If you ask that question, there is no answer to that question. So that is how Vedic literature, Shastram, is helping you to filter the truth out of all these things. And that's our responsibility. Nobody will come and give it to us in a plate. Here is the truth, take it. You won't have it. You will never get it. That duty, responsibility is on our shoulder. Sadhana is meant for that, to help us in getting that purity. When will that happen? When the purity inside is there. Shuddhi, the what you know, Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi happens inside, then little by little we'll start seeing the truth. Because when Shastram is written, it's written for different levels of people. People are all at different levels, isn't it? Some people require very clear instructions. They can only accept that. Everything should be written in a bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. Instruction should be given. They can only accept that. Everything else, like you can say, the instructions given in certain spiritual texts, they'll mention that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And they'll say, do this, do this, do this. Like that, if it is spoken like that, they can accept that. Otherwise, they can't accept it. But that is not the situation with everyone. Why? All of us have come with different karma vasanas from previous lifetime. And accordingly, our chitta shuddhi, purity inside, and our prarabdham inside, our vasanas inside, they are all different. So depending on whichever level you are, you will accept it in that level only. That is the point. That is why Shastram is different to speaking in different levels to different people. So Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on Brahma Sutram, which Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled, has spoken in a particular level to accept in that level. So therefore it is said in the Bhagavatam at the beginning itself, Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Paramo Namat Saranam Satam. Projita Dharmam. Kaidava Dharmam. Dharmam Projita Kaidavotra Paramo. What is Kaidava Dharmam? Kaidava Dharmam means cheating religion. Cheating religion means what? That I will spend 50 pence for Krishna and Krishna should give me 50 million pounds in return. That is Kaidava Dharmam. That is Kaidava Dharmam. Cheating religion. That I'll do this for you. And in return, you do this for me. With that mood, going towards Krishna for help. That is Kaidava Dharma. Cheating religion it is. So, just like people, lot of people do this, maybe not so much here, but in India you will see, when they buy the lottery ticket, they will say a prayer to Krishna. Or that I'll buy this lottery ticket, if I win this, I'll give you 50%. And they'll give 50%. They say, even 50% we can have it. That's how they are looking at it. So this is Kaidava Dharmam, cheating religion. This is not spiritual life. So such religion is not discussed in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is free from all that. That's not what, that's why Vedavyas wanted to tell us in the beginning itself. If that is the mood, don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, he says there. Nirmal saranam satam vedyam. Nirmal saranam. One who is interested in spiritual, his own spiritual life, it's for him. Not one he is competing with others, that what others are doing, let me compete and show I am better than him. For them, no, it's not required. For your own spiritual advancement, vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayo unmoolanam. So in this way, that ahangaram, devotee offers his false ego also to Krishna. He has no existence outside Krishna. And this wiping out this false ego is not an easy thing. If you think that I have no false ego, suddenly you will see that false ego that I don't have any false ego will come up. The false ego that I don't have any false ego will come up as a false ego at that time. So, and you will not experience Krishna's mercy at that time. So, best example is this best devotees themselves. In the earlier chapter, Krishna's Narada Maharshi said, gopis are the best example for the as the topmost devotees, isn't it? Yatha vrajagopiganam, he says. And here, to talk about this false ego as an example, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying that the best example of the false ego were the gopis. Gopis have fallen into that trap once. Every devotee falls into that trap sometime or the other. But gopis, even who are the greatest devotees, they fell into that trap one day. That is what happened in the Rasa dance, isn't it? If you look in the 10th canto, you will see there. Evam Bhagavata Krishna Labdhamana Mahalmana Altmanam Menire Strenam Maninyobhyadigam Bhuvi. In the middle of the Rasa dance, Krishna was with the gopis when they met first time with the gopis. And Krishna spent a lot of time, expanded himself into so many different forms. Krishna has expanded. And Krishna was with each form of Krishna was each gopi. Every Krishna has been associating with each gopi at that time. And but one gopi didn't know that the other gopi had Krishna also with her. Gopis didn't know each other. Every gopi thought, Krishna favors me more than others. This is the way Krishna's activities are. When Krishna expanded himself into many forms and he started dancing with the different gopis, each gopi never knew that other gopis also had Krishna with them. That is the way it is, a joint operation between Krishna and Sri Parvati, isn't it? Mayadevi, she is present there. She can put everyone into any situation what she wants, isn't it? Agadita gadana padiyasi maya. Maya is like that. Whatever you think is not possible, she'll make it happen here, right in front of you. Before you know, it will happen in front of you. That's her strength. So here, you will see, Krishna was dancing like that. That is why, in the beginning of that rasa dance, Krishna says there, isn't it? Yogamaya mupashridaha. Taking Yogamaya's help, Krishna started the rasa dance. Because Yogamaya was present throughout in all the activities there. So when this happened, when the gopis were dancing with Krishna, each gopi thought, Krishna is with me alone. I am the one who is... Every time our tendency is like that, we want to compare with others straight away, say, have I done better than the other one? So gopis also did exactly the same thing. Even while book distribution, you can see, when you read the scorecard, who is on the top, we look, isn't it? So, that competition will never leave us. It will go on like this. We will say it's transcendental and all that, but that's okay. You can call it transcendental. But inside this, malsarium is coming out in some form or the other, isn't it? So, malsarium, normal saranam sadam, malsarium is there. So, Krishna is saying that malsarium, so long as it's there, these things will happen. So naturally, gopi was looking around as other gopis got Krishna with them. And they couldn't find anywhere Krishna with any other gopi. So they thought Krishna is alone with us. And therefore, I must be somewhat superior to the others. This is the thought that gopi had. When this happened, Krishna suddenly disappeared from the seen. This is when in the Rasa dance Krishna disappears at that time. Evam Bhagavata Krishna Labdhamana Mahalmana Almanam Minire Strenam Maninyo Bhadigam Bhuvim. It is at that time in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see the very next verse when Krishna disappeared from them. Altogether disappeared right in the middle of this Rasa dance. Tasam tad saubhagamadam vikshamanam jakeshava prashamaya prasadaya tatraiva andaradhiyada. Sukumarshi says like that, Sukadeva Goswami says there, that tasam tad saubhagamadam vikshamanam jakeshava. Krishna noticed in the gopis saubhagamadam. Saubhagamadam means each gopi thought, I am the most beautiful one. That is why Krishna is after me. Krishna is following me because I must be the most beautiful person. Every gopi thought like that. As soon as Krishna sensed that, tasam saubhagamadam vikshamanam jageshava prashamaya prasadaya tatraiva andharadiyada. As soon as Krishna sensed that, prashamaya prasadaya, immediately, in order to break that false ego on the spot from them, tatraiva andharadiyada, Krishna disappeared from the middle of the gopis. Totally disappeared. And then all of them started crying, searching for Krishna. We'll discuss all that when we come to those chapters in the Bhagavatam. That how through those five chapters, Krishna disappeared and stayed away from the gopis. So this false ego that can come to gopis even, who have reached such a high state of devotion, for them also it can happen. So what is the possibility of it happening to others, all of us, in other words. So when we say we have no false ego, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It is there. It's waiting for that opportunity to come up. It's waiting for the opportunity to come up. That's why it's said like that. Tasam tal saubhagamadam vikshyamanam jakeshava prashamaya prasadaya tatraiva andharadiyadam. So it was at that time they saw that one gopi was missing, gone away from there, and Krishna has taken Radharani with him and gone away from there. And at that point Radharani became false ego developed in Radharani also. Radharani among all the gopis was taken away by Krishna and moved away from there. At that time, Radharani also felt that I must be very special. That's why Krishna has taken me away from there. And Radharani says to Krishna, I can't walk anymore. Please carry me. Who is saying this? Radharani is saying this to whom? To the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to take her. So at that time only Krishna says, you can jump on my back, and says to him. And at that point Radharani's false ego also gone. Krishna disappeared then, isn't it? So first Krishna disappeared from all the gopis, with that their false ego gone, and then followed with Radharani, and eventually Radharani also, when she said that she cannot walk, please take me on your back. And Krishna says, and Krishna fell down on the ground for Radharani to climb. After that, Radharani didn't see Krishna anymore. So with that, Radharani's ego also, and that is when other gopis started searching for Krishna. And then they met up with Radharani, and together all of them started crying for Krishna. And then Krishna comes back later. Krishna stood there and listened to everything what they were talking about Krishna. That is Gopika Gidam. Gopika Gidam, the beauty of that. So Radharani and gopis asked Krishna that, why did you disappear? Krishna says to them straight away that, I just wanted to see, because you all felt this need that you are superior. And in order to get rid of that ego from inside, Krishna has performed that particular thing, what he did, hiding away from them. But later on, when Krishna saw, gopis asked Krishna that, what were you doing? Krishna says, I was here all the time. And if you want to know, I can tell you everything what you are talking about me. Krishna says to the gopis, it's in the Bhagavatam, that everything what you have spoken to each other, I'll tell you now. When the gopis were crying, and there's a lot of things happened at that time. Some gopis were imitating Krishna. Some gopis were talking the way Krishna was talking. Some gopis were eating the betel leaves like the Krishna was eating, in the same way. So many things. Some people criticized, some of them criticized Krishna very heavily. some of them were crying very badly. All those things Krishna was observing standing there, but nobody knew Krishna was there. Krishna was observing. That's why. So they were crying there, and when they arrived in the river bank, Yamuna's river bank, Vraja Janarti Hanvira Yoshidam Nija Janasmaya Dvamsanasmida Bhajasage Bhavat Kingari Ismano Jalaruhananam Charudarshaya. This is a verse from the Gobiga Gita. It says here, Vraja Janarti Hanvira Yoshidam Nija Janasmaya Dvamsanasmidam. Gopis are crying like this. He says, Vrajajanarti hen vira yoshitam. That Vrajajanam is gopis and all the cowherdmen gopis. They are arthi, they are distressed. Who has removed their distress all these years? It is you who have removed their distress, protected them from all the demons, from Kaliya serpent, and from various demons which were sent by Kamsa. Who protected them? Krishna has protected them. They are mentioning that. Vrajajanarti hanvira yoshidam nija janasmaya dhumsanasmidaham. Then, whenever anyone has some false ego, as soon as they look at Krishna, Krishna has to simply smile and then that person's ego goes. Finished with that. Because nija janasmaya dhumsanasmidaham. The beauty of that smile is like that. If Krishna smiles at you or at us or any one of us, then we will lose that ego from inside. If only thing is, we need Krishna to smile to us. If Krishna smiles at us, nija janasmaya dhumsanasmida, as soon as Krishna smiles, that ego inside will just melt away. Why? Because Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality, above everything, completely in the realized state, that association with Krishna is like that. Association with Krishna means what? Association Krishna means that in whose association our false ego goes. That is proper association, isn't it? Perfect association is like that. It is this false ego we are trying to get rid of. As soon as we see Krishna, and Krishna smiles, nija janasmaya dvamsanasmidaha, that immediately it wipes out that false ego from inside. Bhajasage bhavat kingarismano jalaruhananam charudarshayam. Gopis are saying to Krishna, we are serving you with this understanding that please accept us as your servants and show your lotus face to us. Krishna's smile is well known, isn't it? Krishna's smile is well known. Why? In the Bhagavadam, it mentions like this. Hasonmada karija maya. That when Krishna smiles, it means many, many things. Different things it means. There are a lot of occasions in the Bhagavadam when Krishna smiles. If you read Bhagavadam, you will see. At different times, Krishna smiling. One day, Krishna stood there alone in Dwarka, and in his dressing room he looked into the mirrors all around and he saw his form in the mirror and he smiled. Krishna smiled at himself seeing Krishna's beauty. It's mentioned in the Bhagavadam. Krishna was looking at himself and seeing the beauty of Krishna's form. Krishna was smiling. Another instance, Krishna has smiled with so many different people. With some demons also Krishna has smiled. When Pudana came, Krishna closed the eyes completely. Didn't open the eyes. And then Krishna thought, if I smile, Pudana may not feed me the breast milk. So there it's a different mood. Hasonmada karija maya. When Krishna smiles, that creates an unmada madness in people. And that is done through Maya. Maya will act accordingly, according to Krishna's desire from inside. Of course, that's a big thing in the Bhagavadam about Krishna's smile. Anyway, here, gopis kept on, their ego completely melted away. After Gobiga Gidam they sang, their ego completely melted away and they became totally helpless. Totally helpless. And that you can see at the end of Gobiga Gidam. When the gopis are crying and they feel one hand, they left home. They can't go back there anymore. Because if you go back, they won't accept. Parents won't accept them back. Because what they have done was something which is beyond any, which is not allowed. And they left home and come. And here, Krishna has also left them. So they were in that state. And that's why gopis use some very strong language in the Bhagavatam when they talk about Krishna. And that freedom only gopis have got, nobody else has got to speak about Krishna in that way. That's why it said, Tasama virabhuchauri smayamana mukhambuja pidambaradhara sraghvi sachalman madhaman madha. Krishna's coming back to them. After they have gone through all this, Gopiyaginam was sung. And then Tasama virabhul shauri, Krishna comes back. Smayamana mukhambujam, Krishna is smiling at that time. Pidambaradara sraghvi, that Krishna is wearing that beautiful yellow garment. Sakshal manmadha manmadha, that he is the most attractive cupid at that form. So attractive he was, gopi suddenly got their life back in their life. So all these things is there in the Bhagavatam. Why we are saying all this thing is abhimanam, pride in us or false ego in us has to go to become qualified for Krishna's mercy. Otherwise it will never happen. And that pride won't go very easily. It's the most difficult thing to get it off from inside. And it will only happen, as Krishna says here, and Narada Maharshi also says here, only through surrender. Surrender is the key to bhakti. So even gopis sadhana, the gopis attraction for Krishna, and gopis false ego, if Krishna is not going to tolerate, what chance is there with our sadhana and with our false ego, Krishna is going to accept it? This is important, isn't it? Gopis who have given their heart and soul to Krishna, who loved Krishna wholeheartedly, gave up their home, family life, everything, and 24 hours absorbed in Krishna, thinking about Krishna and pleasing Krishna in different ways. Krishna has come to their houses and broken the pots and done all sorts of mischief, and they still did not get upset with Krishna. They went to Yashoda Devi, spoke to Yashoda Devi about it, and they asked even Krishna, when Krishna said to them that I won't come to your house anymore, they were upset with Krishna for not coming back again. To such an extent they loved Krishna. And in spite of all that, they had false ego happen to them. And if it can happen to them, and Krishna will not tolerate that from the gopis, if it is like that, what about us who are doing a 16 round sadhana in a day and 4 regulative principles, and we expect Krishna to be easily pleased with us? Is that going to happen? We are asking why Krishna is not pleased with me. Just to show to us that even a slight trace of false ego or pride inside is sufficient to keep Krishna away. To keep Krishna away. So, in the Bhakti Sutram, this is the Bhakti Sutram. Bhakti Sutram will tell us so many things openly to make us understand where we stand in spiritual life. If Narada Maharshi don't tell us all these things, what will happen? Some people told me they took to spiritual life. They thought we have to chant 16 rounds for a year or so and then get initiated, and then we are back in the spiritual world. Some people have thought like that, and they joined in that mood. But after a year, nothing was happening. So they said, we'll leave it now, it's not working. They left and gone. So all these are there in the history. There's so many people who have done. And so many people still doing it, but because there is no surrender inside, at some point they will find it difficult to continue further. And only thing is, if you look into Bhakti Sutram, you will know, if Srinarada Maharshi is telling us, that if gopis who had that so qualified devotees, as he himself is quoting them, Yatha Vraja Gopi Ganam, as authorities on the bhakti, the best devotees, he quotes as gopi. They have not studied Shastram, they have not executed any sadhana, they have not performed the penances, they didn't, of course I think they followed all the regulative principles, but these things are not important for them. But even they, in spite of their such a devotion and surrender to Krishna, if in them this false ego can come, and there even Krishna can abandon them and go from the middle of that. If it is like that, what about ordinary people like us who are just trying to survive in this world with our 16 rounds and spiritual things, what we think we are doing spiritually, just to show to us that karmam is not the answer to the problem. Karmam is not the answer. Problem is this, that the surrender which is key to bhakti has to happen inside. The surrender must be complete. When the surrender is complete, Krishna will interact with us. Krishna will respond to that. So that's why it's mentions like that. Surrendering everything to Krishna is important. Saying this, Sri Narada Maharshi goes on to the next sutram. In the next sutram, he says here, Tasyal jnanam evam sadhana ityega. That is the next sutram, 28. Tasyal jnanam evam sadhana ityege. Here, a problem comes. What is the problem? Problem is this, that in Shastram says you require jnanam, knowledge, isn't it? It's an important thing in the Bhagavatam. Jnanam is an important thing. Without knowledge, you can't realize the truth. And there is a lot of instructions from Krishna to Arjuna as well as to Uddhava about jnanamargam, process of knowledge, about realizing the self. So, some acharya are of opinion that to get this parabhakti, pure devotion, jnanam is the only way you can get that. This is a crossroad or a junction where you come to. You have come to a state where you have to decide, how do I move into the parabhakti state? When that happens, some people are saying, some acharyas are saying, jnanam is necessary, knowledge is necessary. So, important thing is, without some knowledge of the truth, some understanding of the truth, and some way of reaching that truth, knowing about that, nobody will begin spiritual life. In spiritual life, two or three things are important. Everyone recognizes that. First thing, we have to have some strong faith in the existence of a higher authority, a truth, absolute truth, what we refers to, Satyam Param Dhimahi. In some form, we have to accept the existence of higher authority, Krishna, truth. Secondly, in order to teach us about that science, we need a literature, some book necessary to understand about that Supreme Person, like Srimad Bhagavatam, is necessary. So, first of all, we have to have that deep faith in the existence of higher authority. That will only come when we suffer through a lot in this life. When we suffer in our body, family life, and in all areas, when there is a lot of distress happens, only then we'll start thinking there must be some higher law, superior law controlling everything in this world. So that comes after a high understanding of maturity suffering in this world. When we come to that, you will accept automatically a higher form. Somebody may accept some other form, but for us it is Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. So we accept Krishna as the absolute truth, and then the next thing what is required is to approach Krishna, we require some guideline, some text, some book is necessary, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is there to take us to that person, to take to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thirdly, we have to have the association of devotees who are fixed in that path. All these three things combined together will help a person to develop spiritually. So, therefore, it says, Tasyal jnanam evam sadhanam ityege. So, jnanam eva, he says here. Jnanam eva means that different people have different opinions about it. ഉദ്ധവ കൃഷ്ണ ശ്രേഷ്ഠ ഉദ്ധവ തപത്തീർത്ഥം ജപോദാനം പവിത്രാൻ ഇതരാണി ച നാലം കുറുവന്തി താം സിദ്ധി യാ ജ്ഞാനകലയാകൃത എന്ത് ഏകാദശസ്കന്ധം അറ്റ് എ ലേറ്റർ ഡേറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ശ്രേഷ്ഠ ഉദ്ധവ ഉദ്ധവ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഗ്ലോറിഫൈസ് ജ്ഞാനം ദയർ ടു സച്ച് എ ഡിഗ്രി ഈ സൈസ് ദയർ neither by austerities and penances nor by tirthadanam means going on pilgrimages to Vrindavanam, Mayapur, Dwaraka and all those places, nor by chanting the holy name japam, nor by giving in charity. None of these things will purify you like the knowledge. Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam, it is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam in the 19th chapter, you can see in the Ekadashaskandam. So on one side Krishna is saying about bhakti glorifies to such an extent, and here when it comes to in another chapter Krishna says even chanting my holy name will not be as effective or Uddhava like the jnanam, the knowledge is. So this is what I was saying in the beginning, that when you read Bhagavatam you will see at different times different things glorified in different situations. Krishna has spoken different things. From there, to filter that truth out of it, that's our duty. Krishna is not going to give us one answer. It's a multiple choice question. Like, it's a lot of answers. And many answers are correct in that. So getting that right is our duty. We have to do that. He's not going to feed us correctly. All Vedic literature is like that. All Vedic literatures are like that. When you read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, any literature, if you start saying this is the only truth, you are mistaken there. You won't be like that, because others are also there who have realized the truth through other processes. Isn't it? Can you deny that? Through jnanam, people have realized the truth. Yogam, people have realized the truth. And through bhakti, people have realized the truth. So sometimes it's very difficult. Instead of getting confused about it, we should understand that it is there in the Bhagavatam, but I'll take, this is what suits me, my mind, my nature, let me follow this route. But you don't have to criticize others for that. Shraddha Bhagavadam Shastre. Attention should be on the Shastram of Bhagavadam. Aninda Anyatra Chabihi. No offense or criticism of others who are following a different process. Leave that to them. They are not to be criticized. Because Shraddha Bhagavadam Shastre Anindra Anyatra Chabihi. It is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavadam. After talking about jnanam, karmam, yogam, bhakti and all, Krishna says to Uddhava, your attention should be on the Bhagavata dharmam. Take Bhagavata dharmam seriously and aninda anyatra chabihi. Don't offend anyone. Criticize anybody for that matter. So here, after saying this, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, like jnanam, nothing is as powerful as jnanam, like tapasya, austerities or penances or pilgrimage or chanting the holy name or charity. None of them is as powerful as knowledge. As powerful as knowledge. So, although Krishna has said like that, in other places, Krishna is glorifying bhakti also, in a big way. He glorifies bhakti as well. So Narada Maharshi saying that he accepts jnanam as one of the processes in self-realization. But some people say, jnanam is the only way for self-realization. This is Narada Maharshi's statement on that. Some people are saying, jnanam is the only way, because in some places, jnanam is glorified to such an extent in the Bhagavatam. So therefore, they say, jnanam is the only process by which you can realize the self, not by any other means. But in other places, Krishna has glorified bhakti as well, in the same way. Narada Maharshi is saying here, that the jnanam is only one of the processes, is not the only process. This is Narada Maharshi's conclusions. And Narada Maharshi is giving the opinion of different sages on this. Why? Because that is how Vedic literatures are. Vedic literature is always will talk about the truth in such a way from the opinion of the great sages. Even while Krishna is talking, he talks like that. Have you noticed that in the Bhagavatam? When he is talking to Uddhava, Krishna starts saying, I heard from Bhishma so many things in the Mahabharata war. After Mahabharata war, when Bhishma was leaving the body, I heard many things. I will mention all that to you now, Uddhava. And he says to Uddhava, all what Krishna has heard from Bhishma. So the Vedic system is like that. That there's no one man saying one thing and this is everything. No. There is all the great personalities, sages, spoken different things at different times, and Krishna will quote different people as authority. Krishna is quoting them as authority. Krishna is not saying, I am saying this, so you take it like this. No. He'll say that in the past, such and such a person has spoken like this. About when it comes to Varnashrama Dharmam, and when it comes to Raja Dharmam, Sri Dharmam, Purusha Dharmam, there is a number of chapters in the 11th canto. All that is spoken by Bhishma. And Krishna is simply quoting that and saying that Bhishma has spoken like this, and I am saying this to you, Uddhava, now, like this. When it comes to Karma Yogam and the science of Karma Yogam, he will talk about King Janaka and others. Say, they were like this, they practiced Karma Yogam in this way, you follow that route, Arjuna, he says to him, to Arjuna, in that way. When he talks about bhakti, he will say like this, Uddhava, gopis were like this, or Prahlada was like that, that is how they followed that route, and you can also follow that route. This is how Krishna will speak. Krishna will never stand there and tell you that this is what I am telling you to do, you do like that. Then so many things Krishna says like this. Giving all these authorities, Bhishma, Prahlada, Sri Narada Maharshi, and many others, Krishna will quote as authority when he wants to say something to us. So therefore here, Sri Narada Maharshi also follows the same route. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here to us now that Jnana Margam is only one process which is very effective, and Sri Narada Maharshi has not written it off. He says Jnana Margam is the process. But all these processes, in some other's opinion, are mutually dependent. That is the next one. The next sutram, if you look, he is saying here, anyonya ashrayatvam iti anye. He says, that's all. One word, that is finished. Anyonya ashrayatvam iti anye. Then some people, some sages are saying that they are all mutually dependent, which means jnanam, karmam, yogam, bhakti, they are all mutually dependent on each other. Nobody is independent. That's the point he is making. Because mind inside, andhakaranam inside, is unbreakable. It's an important thing inside, in the spiritual life, isn't it? And desire, knowledge, action, all these things are coming from that same subtle body. From the same subtle body, they are coming. When one is working, within the subtle body we have four elements, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. I don't know English word for that. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. For differences, I'll tell you what they are. Mind is sangalpa vikalpa mana, which makes these different ideas to come up. Sangalpam and vikalpam. Different thoughts inside. Chittavritti, that is what is mind is. Then, sangalpa vikalpa mana. Out of that, the intelligence makes a decision. It picks one and makes a decision. This is what I am going to do. So that's buddhi. Manasa buddhi. Then we have got, I am the one who is doing everything. In everything, I am there. Isn't it? Right in the middle of all that. And that is ahankaram. That's ahankaram. So in every action we do in this world, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, all three are always present. Always present, isn't it? But when an action is performed, or when a desire has developed, a thought has developed inside, it creates what is known as vasana inside. What's known as vasana inside. And that when that vasana becomes strong, first it begins as a chittavritti, it develops strongly and becomes what is known as vasana. When it becomes vasana, that is known as chittam. All the vasanas combined together, it is stored in that chittam. So, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. The storage of all the vasanas together. That constitutes what is known as subtle body. What is known as subtle body. And in the subtle body, all desires are developing. Vasanas sprouts from there. The knowledge is also sprouting from there. And all the actions are also initiated from there. From this subtle body. Why? Ahankaram initiates all the actions from inside. Mind and intelligence together makes a discussion and makes a decision about the knowledge, how it should be done. Any action if you take, it's like that. When the gross body is functioning in this world, The subtle body is also working inside these four things together. In a very subtle level it's working, so we are not conscious of that. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, they together are doing all these things inside. We are not conscious of that. So what's happening is, ahankaram says, I am the doer, and he starts the work. Kriya begins at that point. I am the doer. Buddhi and manasa, mind and intelligence, have discussed and they have interacted each other, and buddhi has decided, and you have decided to go along that route. And at the same time, chittam inside has stored all the vasanas that has come from that action, and it will remain in the form of vasana inside for future karmam to develop later. That comes from that. So here it says here that so without knowledge it is not possible to desire anything, isn't it? And similarly, without knowledge and desire, you cannot get into action either. All they are connected each other. In the subtle body functions between the interaction of these things, and because it is like that, all the yoga systems also have to interact. Jnanam, bhakti, kriya or karmam, they also have to interact. Why? Because in the subtle body, they are interacting and they are creating a situation. Do you know what the logic behind it is, isn't it? In the subtle body, because these thoughts are developing and decision is made there to act in a particular way, and false ego initiates the action inside, that means there they are cooperating each other, isn't it? Mind, intelligence and false ego are cooperating very well inside. That's why it comes out in the form of an action in this world. Any karma, what you perform in this world, is an after effect of that cooperation inside, between the mind, intelligence, false ego. So, because it is like that, when it comes out, it develops in the form of these three yoga processes, bhakti, jnanam and karma. Bhakti, jnanam and karma. So, some sages are of opinion that if it is not accompanied by karma yogam, your jnanam will not be perfect. Similarly, if your jnanam is not associated with bhakti, that jnanam will not be perfect, and your karma yogam also will not mature properly. In other words, jnanam, karmam and bhakti, they have to work together in a person. You can never say, I am only following the bhakti process, I have nothing to do with karmam and nothing to do with jnanam. Which is also a logical point, isn't it? When you think about it, that karma, jnanam, bhakti comes from vasanas inside, and that develops inside through mind, intelligence, false ego. They are the one who are initiating everything. So when it manifests in the form of action in this world, you also have to see jnanam, karmam, bhakti in the action outside. So that's what it is said. Therefore they are saying, some sages are of opinion, that they are interdependent. They are not independent. Jnana, karma, bhakti are interdependent. So at no stage till you realize the self, who you are, what we are, till we realize it, you can never write off karma yogam or jnana yogam. Karma yogam or jnana yogam, you cannot write it off. Because if you say, so similarly, when Krishna says bhakti yogam, I love bhakti, I like the devotee, he doesn't write it off jnanam at that time. He doesn't write it of karmam at that time, because only in the 10th chapter Krishna says karma yoga must be performed. And in the 11th chapter, 12th chapter, Krishna talks about salsangam, and straight after in the 13th chapter, Krishna glorifies jnanam. And right after that, 14th chapter, Krishna glorifies bhakti. Just to show to us that none of them are independent. They are all interdependent, each other. They're all interdependent. This is how you understand Bhagavatam. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you read Bhagavatam in a way that sometimes you start reading Bhagavatam and some places you find, oh, this is all dry mental speculation. There's nothing. I'm a devotee. I don't need all this. I leave this behind. These few pages gone. Like that. That way you won't capture the message properly from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is brought together everything. Karma, jnanam, bhakti. Everything brought together in order to make us understand how it works in our spiritual life, how it has its effect on us. That's what Bhagavan will tell us. So it's up to us how to balance it out, all the three. Karma, jnanam, bhakti. We need all the three, all the time. How to balance that? We need sadhana, bhakti. For bhakti, we need sadhana. For Karma Yoga, we have to execute in that understanding that it is for Krishna I am performing this action. That way, that ownership will leave us, move us from inside. And always the goal of Jnanam, self-realization, must be there, knowledge of the soul. Otherwise, it won't develop properly. That's how it works. The knowledge is necessary of the soul, that is Jnanamargam. And the goal should be very clear inside, that this is what I'm looking for at the end of spiritual life, to realize the truth, self. And that is self-realization, Jnanam. And recognizing that this body, mind, intelligence, everything has been given to me to serve Krishna, in Krishna's service, and everything I should do to please Krishna with this body, mind, intelligence, that is karma. And on the other hand, performing that bhakti process, executing sadhana properly, and constantly surrendering to Krishna, bhakti, that is also a part of that. So these three things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is spoken as Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. If you look into the seventh canto, you will see this, where Sri Yudhishthira Maharaj has been spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi, that three things he says, Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. What does that mean? Dravyadvaitam means that everything is Krishna's, recognizing that and offering to Krishna everything. Bhavadvaitam means that without Krishna's presence, nothing will happen, that bhakti inside. Kriyadvaitam means all this body is for Krishna's service, taking in that way. Body means body, mind, intelligence, everything for Krishna's service. So that is what it is spoken here. So when we are talking about this, so anyonyam ashrayantum itanye, this one line means all these things. That's the nature of the sutram. But Brahma Sutram is also like that. You'll only see one statement, janmadese yadaha. So that is why we require commentaries from acharyas to understand what they are saying, what Narada Maharshi is saying. This Narada Bhakti Sutram, there's only about 85 sutras altogether, 85 or 88 sutram altogether. But in that 88 sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi has packed everything what one has to know about bhakti. So, anyonyam ashrayitam ityanye, he says here. Then, tasmal jnanena sahidam. This is Krishna's statement about jnanam. Tasmal jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam uddhava jnana vidyana sambannam bhajamam bhaktibhavida jnana vidyana yajnena mamishtu alpanam alpmani sarva yajnamadim mam vai samsiddhim munayo agaman. In the 19th chapter, there's two verses. Krishna says to Uddhava, therefore, understand me, know about me through jnanam process, and become, realize that jnanam, and you surrender unto me after that, knowing very well who I am, Krishna says to him. And many, many great sages, jnana vijnana sahidam yatvam svalpanam uddhava, first jnanam and then vijnanam. That means first the knowledge and then the realization after that. And then yatva, knowing that, svalpanam uddhava, jnana vijnana sambhanno bhajamam bhakti bhavida. Many, many people in the past, they have become rich with their jnanam and vijnanam, and they have served me with that understanding. That means, surrendering and serving Krishna must be with proper understanding. Otherwise, what will happen is it will become a business transaction. It is the biggest problem all of us have. That when trouble comes, we go to Krishna and we ask for some protection or shelter. That's normal, isn't it? In this world, that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, artho jityasu artharthi jnani. Artharthi and artha is these two categories. Who comes to Krishna only for money or for some distress. So that is natural. It's nothing unusual about that. But Krishna says that with proper jnanam, with proper understanding, if they come to me, it is better. If they worship me, it is better. Jnana vijnana yajnena mamishtu alpmanam alpmani. When that happens, they will know who I am. If they come to me in the proper way, through the process of jnanam, they will know who I am. They will not think I am simply a deity standing in the temple. They will see me in all the living entities present as their soul, and they will relate with me in that way, which is important. Because most of the time in bhakti process, this can be a big hurdle. We become devotees and then we start thinking, I am a devotee, other living entities, they can go to hell, they are all karmis, they are nonsense, they are working hard like asses, donkeys and all that we say about them. That's all very nice. But what you have to recognize is that within them also Krishna is present. If we don't have that understanding, what will happen is we will isolate from them, and when we see them, natural way, there will be a kind of, what do you say, tiraskaram. Tiraskaram means a kind of looking down upon them will develop in our heart without our knowledge. This is quite known to everybody, isn't it? Sayangaram tiraskaram evahi, Krishna says there. Earlier, visajyas mayamananshas drisham dridanja dehigim. That is why Krishna says, praname dandavad bhumam ashwa chandala ghogaram. Because this mentality has developed inside, thinking that I am a devotee, all others don't know anything about Krishna, they are just karmis, sense gratifiers, such demons they are, and they have come to this world just to suffer, engage in sinful activities. I am not any of them, I am somewhat better than them. This mentality comes to us, and then what will happen? We will develop this mood inside us that they are not worthwhile recognizing in anything in them. We won't recognize them. So that therefore Krishna said in the Bhagavatam later that Premam, Maitri, Krupa, Upeksha, create the, all these different relationships with people, and if you do that, it will take away all the Sayang, Ahangaram, Tiraskaram, Spardha, Asuya, all other things will leave you. Krishna says like that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? You know, in the 29th chapter, Bhagavatam, you have to study like this, that all are interconnected each other. They are not separate instructions given at different places. They are all together, actually. So that's why Krishna says here, many sages have developed the spiritual knowledge and they realized it, and at the end, they develop bhakti in their heart and reach the goal. He says, because the subtle body is unbreakable. They are together. This is also another important point. In the subtle body, although we say these four things, mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam exist, they are not separate. Based on the function they do, we separate them. Otherwise, they are not separate. Because it's functioning in four different ways, we call them as mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. But actually, that is one unit only. It's one unit. It's just like the... what do you say? It is the hard drive or whatever you want to call it inside. That's there in that. Or it's the black box in the airplane when it drops. If you get that black box, you know what has happened inside. So it's just like that black box in the airplane. When an accident happens, they look for that, isn't it, in the airplane. So from there, they will make out what has happened. So this is our black box inside. And everything is packed in that. So Krishna says here, because it is, Naradamahārṣi is saying here, because they are all together, jnanam, bhakti, karmam, they are mutually, they help. Mutually they help, not that they fight each other. They mutually help, because if you are developing bhakti in the heart, natural way, your karma will also become, if you have some experience of this in your own life, you can see, as much as you become more and more devotional inside the heart, you will also feel an intense desire to serve Krishna. It will come in a natural way, you know, practically. That's the way it works. So on the one side, bhakti is developing. Simultaneously, karma is also developing into karma yoga. So at the same time, you can notice also, your interest in the other things in this world disappears. And little by little, the knowledge of the soul starts developing inside. So there itself, in practically your own life, you can see jnanam, karma, bhakti working together. They are never separate. It's never possible to separate it out. They work together. And you may not notice it. You may say that, oh, I'm following the bhakti margam. But without your knowledge, karmam and jnanam is helping you in that process. And somehow or the other, it will come. That's the way it is. They are complements each other. They are not competing each other. They complement each other. That is the important thing. After saying this, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying now, Swayam Phalarupa Devi Brahma Kumaraha. This is another interesting. Swayam Phalarupa Devi Brahma Kumaraha. Narada Maharshi is saying here, goal of jnanam, goal of karmam, goal of yogam is all realizing the truth, self-realization. But bhakti's goal is not self-realization, bhakti's goal is bhakti itself. There is no separate goal. When you develop bhakti inside, naturally, as much as you are rejoicing in that bhakti process. You feel experiencing that bhakti inside the heart. When parabhakti develops, this is all talking about parabhakti, not the sadhana bhakti. When parabhakti develops inside and we become serious in parabhakti, you don't want anything then. You're not looking for anything. You are just happy in that state of parabhakti. That is the difference in bhakti compared to jnanam, yogam, karmam and all that. Jnanam, yogam, karmam, they are processes to realize the truth. But bhakti is not like that. Krishna is, Narada Maharshi is saying here, bhakti's result is bhakti itself. That you want more bhakti and more bhakti. And that is bhakti's nature. Swayam bhalarupa dedi brahma kumaraha. So, naturally, bhakti was spoken as superior to other processes because of this. And Krishna doesn't like the false ego. And he likes those who have given up the false ego. And the reason also he has stated here. Then, also he mentioned here that jnanam is helpful for developing bhakti. And all the processes like jnanam, karmam, yogam and all that, they are mutually complementing each other and not competing each other. All these things he has spoken. Now Narada Maharshi is going to say his opinion about it. This is all what he has quoted from other sages, what others' opinion was. All of it is valid. You can't say that because it's come in the Bhakti Sutram. If it was not valid, Narada Maharshi will not have spoken about that in the Bhakti Sutram. So even when you study Bhakti Sutram, you have to know how to filter out the truth from that. What suits your nature, the mind, you have to continuously churn it over and get your own grasp of this truth, what is spoken in the Narada Bhakti Sutram. You shouldn't think, because it is Bhakti Sutram, there is one answer at the end for everything. We are used to this kind of conclusions, isn't it? We want always everything, one answer. But there is no one answer. So that's what he says here. It is not this bhakti, parabhakti, what Krishna is talking about, or Narada Maharshi is talking about, is not a result of any sadhana. It's not the result of any sadhana. That comes on its own. And that is mercy, Krishna's mercy here. And once it comes, it stays. And then what is the necessity of sadhana? Because sadhana, purpose of sadhana, is to wipe out this false ego. The ego that is covering us, blocking that mercy coming to us. To wipe out that ego, we are executing sadhana. That is the purpose of sadhana. If we don't perform sadhana, what will happen? Even at that time, we will go and do some vigarmam somewhere. So to bring some discipline in life, to start with in spiritual life, sadhana is necessary. And sadhana must continue till the point that we are able to experience that parabhakti. Up to that point, sadhana is a necessity. All mahatmas, for them, people who have gone very far in their spiritual life also, you will see that they also execute sadhana to some limit degree. They'll have to execute sadhana. Only for one reason, that if they don't execute sadhana, others won't follow. Others won't follow. They'll think that, oh, he's not doing anything, why should I do it? He's telling us to do all, but he's not doing anything. This is quite common in this world. People say, oh, he's talking all these big things. He doesn't chant these rounds. He's telling us to chant the rounds. All these kind of statements will come. So therefore, they also perform sadhana for one reason only. Because what sadhana does is, if ever this little pride or ego develops inside, this sadhana will clear it up. Sadhana will clear it up and also take away that Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi means to see someone is higher and someone is lower. That is Veda Buddhi in this world. Not between human species alone, between a cat and a dog and a donkey, Krishna is saying, you should not see any Veda Buddhi. You should not even see them as any way inferior to another living entity. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, they are all spirit soul. They are all spirit soul. So, just like If you take a lottery ticket, the result, you get the lottery, is not because of your effort, isn't it? You get the lottery, you win the lottery, not because of your effort, you got it, but by your luck you have got it, isn't it? But in order to get that luck, you have to join the lottery, is it not? You have to join the lottery. Because if you not join the lottery, you won't get it. Similarly, sadhana is like that. Sadhana is like that. Krishna's mercy will come from one side and it will take its own way. Take its own way and take you into a higher understanding of Krishna consciousness in spiritual life. But you have to perform sadhana at the same time, just like buying the lottery ticket. You have to keep performing the sadhana because sadhana does this. If you have not done sadhana, you can't get that mercy. I think this is the best example I can talk about. That you have to take the lottery ticket, otherwise you won't win the lottery. But by taking the lottery ticket, there is no guarantee you will win the lottery. Isn't it? It is like that. Krishna's mercy will come at some time when we are qualified for that. That's not dependent on the sadhana. But if you don't perform sadhana, mercy won't come. So how would you explain that? People always ask this question, all the time. People have this question, isn't it? Suppose I increase from 16 to 25 rounds, or 25 to 32, or 32 to 64, what will happen? They have this question all the time. In the beginning, all these questions will be there, in the beginning. But when you get older, you recognize that there's not much time left in this world to argue about 25 or 32 or 64. There's no time left. Any moment you could be gone from here. And there is no point in talking about number of rounds you are chanting at that time. Mercy is necessary at that time. You can't depend on the sadhana what you have performed. So when in the beginning, when you enter into at the age of 20, 25, when there is full of ego inside, I'm going to do it. When that time you read all this, 25, 32, 64, all that. But when you get older, you are not dependent on 25, 32 and 64. There you are, or 16, you can write it off, all that. There you have to depend on the mercy of Krishna. But sadhana is necessary, that's the point. If you don't perform sadhana, there will be no mercy. Because sadhana, what it does is, whenever this false ego develops inside, sadhana takes it away. Little by little, it wipes it off from inside. At least while chanting, if you sit down there in one place and chant the holy name, all these ahankaram will develop, come up inside in the form of vasana. All the vasanas that comes out is ahankaram. At least you can see what is inside at that time, within ourselves, what is there, what comes out in that form, and you will recognize what you really are. Otherwise, you won't know what you are. The world will tell you are a fantastic person, nice gentleman, perfect devotee, everything. But that perfect devotee's perfection, how perfect it is inside, you will notice it when you perform sadhana. So when you know how many thoughts are coming through inside and what kind of vasanas are popping up inside, you will know what is inside you. Every one of us, we have to go through. That is why we have been given this dream state. Because in the dream state, is a clear indication of our vasanas inside. For a jnani, they analyze themselves in that way. They use the dream state for this purpose, to understand what kind of dreams I am getting at night, and they will know what the problems they have got inside. Suppose someone is very attracted to, say, enjoying sense enjoyment, that different kinds of sense enjoyment will appear in the dream, in some form. Whatever kind of sense enjoyment he is addicted to, that sense enjoyment will appear in the dream. From there, he will know that this propensity is very strong in me. I have to be careful about that. So naturally, he has to make the decision not to associate with such situations. This is the purpose behind the dream state. Otherwise, why dream state? Krishna could have given two states, Jagrat and Sushupti. Why there is a dream in the middle? Isn't it? He could have made us to work whole day and put us to sleep at the night. Why there is a dream in the middle? This question. Jnanis know these things very well. They know inside out very well. That's why they can tell you these things. Similarly, Sushupti state also, there is a strong purpose behind it. To prove to us, look, through your body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, the happiness what you are getting is far, far inferior to the happiness what you get without all of that. To prove that to us, Sushupti state is given to us. You see? Only in Sushupti, without body, without mind, without intelligence, without ego, without senses, you come back and you declare to the world, I had the best of all the times. Without all these things. gross body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Just to prove to us that in Sushupti, when you have none of these things, which is called as Ubhadi, these are all Ubhadis for us. Without Ubhadi is the proper identity or happiness for the soul, not with Ubhadi. Without Ubhadi, the soul is happier, not with Ubhadi. We think that with Ubhadi we are happy, but actually it is without Ubhadi we are happy. To prove to us, every day Krishna puts us into Sushupti, dream state. Every single day. But we think Sushupti means what? At a good time, slept well. And that's the only statement that comes out from us in the morning. We never think about Sushupti more than that, isn't it? We think, I had slept very well, and now I'm ready for another nice day. Another dollar-making day. So the mind works like that. That's the situation with that. So that is why it is mentioned here that nairabeksham param prahur. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna says this. Nairabeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpagam tasman nirashisho bhaktir nirabekshasyame bhaved. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, nairabeksham param prahur. Nairabeksham means freedom from not asking anything, not desiring anything, nirabekshatvam. So many places Krishna will repeat that word, nirabeksham, nirabeksham, nirabeksham. Nirabeksham means to give up asking anything to Krishna anymore. Means not desiring anything anymore. Nairabeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpagam. Krishna says here that not desiring anything and not dependent on anything, and for him bhakti is easy. Bhakti will develop in that person. Bhakti is not easy to develop in the heart. We talk about bhakti a lot, but to develop bhakti, all these pre-requirements, Krishna says here, nairabeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpagam. In other words, when there is no desire inside, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, three things spoken, isn't it? Bhakti is the mother, jnana vairagyam are the two children. Jnana vairagyam are the two children. If the two children are healthy, that means jnanam and vairagyam is strong, then the mother is healthy. Mother's happiness is dependent on the children, isn't it? So jnana vairagyam, if they are healthy, it means your mother is healthy. Because only from a healthy mother, healthy children can come. That is why it's spoken in that way. Bhakti, jnana, vairagyam. Bhakti is the mother, jnana, vairagyam are the children. If bhakti is strong, then jnana, vairagyam, or you can see either way. If jnana, vairagyam is strong, you can take it that the bhakti is strong. Or if the bhakti is strong, your jnana, vairagyam also is very strong. So those three things are kept together. That's why Krishna is saying here that that state that is not the results of jnana, yogam, karmam. Which one? This nirabeksha sthiti. Nirabeksham state is not the result of jnanam, karmam or yogam. Nirabekshata state. Nirabekshata means that is a state that has come after all desires have gone away from that person in this world. Only thing what is left for him in this world, how to please Krishna. How to be satisfying Krishna's desire, in other words. That is that nirabekshatam. Nirabekshatam means he has no desire anymore, anything to do in this world, simply Krishna's pleasure to live in this world in that mode. So we'll discuss it next Saturday.